Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Homer, for that prayer and taking some of the pressure off of me and putting it on some of these guys. Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Today, I'll start my message out with a story you may have heard before. A skilled mountain climber was scaling a steep cliff late in the evening when he lost his grip and he fell. Thankfully, his safety rope caught him, but he was left dangling in complete darkness. He called out to God for help. A voice answered in the darkness, "Cut the rope." The climber hesitated. He couldn't see the ground and he feared a fatal drop. He held on tightly, unwilling to let go. The next morning, rescuers found him. He was frozen to death, still clinging to his rope. Just 2 feet below him was the solid ground. This story reminds us that faith is not just about believing in God. It's trusting him enough when it comes time to act, even if we can't see the outcome. For my message today, I'd like to explore the topic of faith. It is a key element in our path as Christians, and we can start by using scripture to help us define what faith is. These are all common scriptures we're all familiar with. We'll start with Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. According to the almighty ChatGPT, in practical terms, it means that faith is having a confident trust in something that hasn't happened yet and cannot be physically seen or proven. It's like believing in the promise of a better future or outcome, even when you can't touch or measure it right now. For example, if you are facing a difficult challenge, but you believe things will get better because of your faith, you are embodying this verse. In trusting in what is not immediately visible or obvious, but still holding on to hope and conviction that it is real and it will come into fruition. Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It seems to me that Paul is telling the Romans here that faith starts with reading God's word, which can then lead to understanding God and his purpose for us. Then through that understanding, we will have faith in God as we learn to trust him and his will for us. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This takes us back to our story of the mountain climber who walked by sight and not by faith. Although he believed in God and therefore called out to him, he did not listen to God's instruction because he couldn't see what the outcome would be. Had he trusted God and followed his instruction to cut the rope, despite not being able to see the outcome, he would have survived. When we pray for God's will to be done in our lives, we are letting go of the illusion of control, and we are yielding to God, knowing, which is not the same thing as believing, by the way, that God knows what is best and what is the best possible outcome for us. So we can see that faith is more than belief. It requires trust, action, and obedience. One powerful example from the Bible that we actually heard about last week, I believe it was Howard, is the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, 25, verse 34. That's wrong. Mark 5, verse 25 through 34. Despite years of suffering and failed treatments, she believed that she could touch Jesus' garment and that would heal her. Her faith was not passive. It moved her to action. Jesus acknowledged her faith and healed her, saying, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Notice here that Jesus does not tell the woman, "I have made you well." Nor does he say, "God has healed you." Instead, he tells her, "Your faith has made you well." Similarly, in Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus speaks of faith as small as a mustard seed being able to move mountains. "Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as a small mustard seed, you can make this mountain, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Again, Jesus does not tell his disciples that he would move the mountain for them, or that God would move the mountain if they have sufficient faith. I find myself asking, is it simply implied that in these scriptures, these scriptures are referring to God as the mechanism of the miracle? Or does faith itself hold a certain power? Surely it is through God by which the miracles happen. Perhaps we can think of faith as a doorway through which God and Jesus Christ can be led into our lives. Perhaps if our faith is pure, we don't even need to ask for what we need, but God will manifest into our lives because that doorway is always open for him to come in. And these are just some of my thoughts into the nature of faith and how it is spoken of in Scripture. I have one more example for you. Jesus feeds the 5,000. We all know the story. What I find particularly interesting about this story is that Jesus could have manifested all the food that he needed to feed the 5,000, but that's not what he did. Instead, he instructed his disciples to take the little bit of food that they had that was clearly not enough to feed 5,000 people and act on faith and start handing it out. This illustrates that they had to have their faith in Jesus to somehow make it work. And it was a requirement of them that they took action in faith in order for the miracle to occur. These examples show us that faith is not just about believing, but in acting in trust, even in uncertainty. So how do we evaluate our own faith? Do we trust God in difficult circumstances, or do we have doubt? Are we taking action that is based on faith, or is it really more for us just an intellectual belief? Are we growing in faith by staying in God's word, praying, and stepping out into obedience? To strengthen our faith, we must do the following. Stay in God's word. Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith comes from hearing the word, as we read. We must pray boldly, trusting God through prayer deepens our faith. Also, when we pray, we should pray for God's will. We don't always know what God's will is for us. Often people pray for the outcome that they want rather than being open to what God wants for them. This can be particularly hard to do when you're going through a trial or a loved one is going through something, whether it's a health trial or anything else. But we have to submit ourselves to God's will. In my life, I found that the prayers that are most clearly answered for me are the ones in which I submit to God's will and leave myself open to whatever he decides is best for me. Third, we need to take steps in faith. Like the woman with the issue of blood, we must move in faith. We must step into the unknown with boldness, knowing, and again, not believing, but knowing that God is here for us. Lastly, we must encourage one another. Surrounding ourselves with fellow believers strengthens our walk. And it's easier to go out into the world with boldness and in faith if we have one another to abide in. We are an army of God. We are not lone soldiers. In conclusion, brethren, faith is a journey, not a destination. Let's commit to growing in our faith daily, trusting God, taking bold steps, and living out our beliefs in the actions we take. As we leave today, let's reflect. How can we put our faith into action next week? May we walk by faith and not by sight. Happy Sabbath.